Welcome to week number 3, which is hard to believe, of EFT. And I am going to be, I've got Karen working on, Karen who's my, not Karen, we've got two Karens on this class, in this class, but Karen that is my right-hand person on getting everything done, putting together a homework list. So if you want to be doing homework over the next couple of weeks, we would love to set you up with someone. So I will have Karen send out a homework reminder, you know, just to kind of check in to see if you want to do homework and EFT homework. And then from there, we will get everybody there. And you know what? I didn't say hi to a 303. Hello.
Hi. 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 Caroline.
Hi, Caroline.
Hi.
Okay. All right. What's that?
Just arrived in Seattle.
Oh, welcome.
Thanks.
Yeah, we're going to have big fun. Yeah, for those that are on, we have a, in my program, and actually this is open to the public, so there's a few people that are coming that aren't in the program, but I have a big, I call it animal alchemy, and it's all things energy healing with animals, so it's going to be a big fun weekend. So anyway, I will make sure that Karen gets homework to people that want to do homework, and I'm going to make a note to myself right now. So you will be paired up with someone, and then you'll email each other and get connected that way. And so then it's up to you to create a time. And what I think is really helpful is if you have an animal challenge at home, is to you know, think, maybe have, if the other person has had some animal communication practice, and I might, if you, you know, maybe let us know if you've had some animal communication background, and we'll set you up appropriately, and we'll get you teamed up in a way so that you can practice yourself and then have one of your animals or you around your animal situation tapped on. And it's a pretty fun, you know, the homework can be very fun to do with someone else, and it gives you an opportunity in a structured environment to be able to practice this. So before we get started with Karen and her poodle, does anyone have any questions, comments, observations?
Karen, this is Katie. I'm struggling with scripting. Are we going to talk a little bit more about that by chance?
Yeah, I think I'm going to send out some ideas. What is your biggest struggle with the scripting? That, it seems.
I don't know where to get started.
Okay, all right. So, where? What are some of the things that you've worked on?
I really haven't, because I don't know where to go with the scripting. The tapping part I've done, where I've just used a pendulum and worked with, okay, I feel this way about this idea, and on a scale of 1 to 10, and then I just did the tapping with those ideas without any scripting, because I don't know how to do scripting.
Okay. If you were to look at, do you have anything at home you'd be tapping on with one of your animals?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Okay. What would give me a subject? Give me a situation.
My oldest dog, Cody, is a big guy. He's 100 pounds, and he barks constantly whenever, especially men, come into the house.
Okay, and would you say that he's fearful or protective?
I think he's being protective.
Okay, and does it scare people?
Yes.
Okay, and does it, do you get frustrated?
Yes.
Okay, and do you think that he's really a sweet guy underneath it all?
I know he is.
Okay, so let's say that you took just those components right there, right? You've got somebody who's overly protective, he's scaring people, really deep down he's super sweet, he doesn't need to do this. You could even just say, just tap on his face and be like, I don't know why I have to be so protective, so protective, so ridiculously protective. I'm overly protective. I don't mean to be overly protective. I really am a good guy. Deep down, I'm a super sweet guy. You know, you could just play with it like that. And I would start there just because, you know, don't overcomplicate it on something as, you know, like the protection.
Okay.
You know, it's like,
I know what I go into maybe, like, I know I'm frustrating mom and dad by barking. Would I go there with it?
You could. I would just see if you could get him. Okay, let's. I was way back in the day, I was not, I was an actress and a writer, and I wrote a lot of plays, and I wrote a lot of screenplays, and even coming out with books now, you know, on the subject of animal communication or energy healing, you know, you have to think in terms of a beginning and a middle and an end. And the beginning is he's overly protective. The middle would be that he's frustrating people, and the end would be that he is really a super sweet guy. Now, if you were doing this for someone else, then, okay, I'm going to pretend that if I were you and you were doing this for someone else with this problem, another question you might ask, in a perfect world, what would he do when people came over? So I'm asking you, Katie, in a perfect world, what would he do?
Greet them, let them pat him on the head, and move on to his perch.
Okay. So,
or even stay with us. I mean, people want him around, but we're constantly shooing him away because he's scary.
Okay. So, you know, a good round of tapping would be, even though I'm super protective, I love and accept myself. And then you would do the whole setup that way. Then, you know, I'm super protective, I'm overly protective, I don't mean to be protective, but no one else is protective, for crying out loud. You know, just like, somebody's got to do this job. Keep tapping through the points, get to the middle section of, I know I'm frustrating everybody, I know people want to get to know me, but it just seems like it's impossible. And then come back around to maybe I could just be here and be the lovable guy that everybody thinks I am, or that, you know, my people think I am. So, you know, doing it from that, you know, from what you want in the perfect world perspective. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. It gives me a lot of clarity.
Okay. And that's the truth for any of this, right? You're looking at a beginning, a middle, and an end, and it's a great way to think about all of this. And another thing that you want to think, you know, with animals, and we'll see how this goes today with Karen, with animals, we know that they are processing or hitting an element of relaxation or thinking or even digesting to some degree when they start, you know, if you think about digesting from an energetic standpoint, digesting is still, again, taking in. So they could even be digesting thoughts. So, you know, when we think about the way that animals respond, they can respond with, they can be licking and chewing, they can change their breathing pattern, their eyes can soften, they can pass gas, they can need to go to the bathroom, they might need to get up and shake it off. You know, there's all sorts of ways that animals are processing. And when you are in the middle of the script, so let's say you've got the beginning of the script and it's the setup. When you get to the middle of the script, it's kind of the meat. And you don't shift out of the middle of the script until you start to see a shift happen with the animal and or you feel it. So for me, I have to feel it on the phone, right? I have to feel into it. Now, I've been a phone psychic for 20 years, so I'm pretty good at feeling when to move on. So that's where, as much as it'll be fun for you guys to get an EFT homework partner, it'll also be fun for you to practice in person so that you can actually see that shift start to happen, if that makes sense. So I don't move on until that third part, you know, the last act of my little three-act play here, until I have felt a big shift happen. And sometimes I'll hear it in the person's voice. Sometimes I won't hear any change at all in their voice, but I'll feel into the animal quickly and get a sense that things are shifting. So, does anyone have any questions on that?
Joan, this is Karen. Does it matter what point you end up on?
You know,
at the end.
You know, that is a great question. I like to end at the top of the head, and there's a reason for that. Let's actually talk about the whole where we're tapping to begin with. When we're tapping on the inside of the eye and the outside of the eye, those points tend to be, I think they're stomach points. They're very calming points. And when you end, and then on the chest, that there's two kind of important points there. So I kind of tap loosely to get all of the lung one and the kidney 27. And then I like to end on the top of the head. Now, right behind the cranium there's a lot of nerve endings. So this point, I will tend to go down past the top of the head. So I might tapping on one of my dogs right now. I'll tap on the top of the head and kind of move the tapping down a little bit into the neck. Now, when you're tapping on a cat, sometimes you don't have the luxury of being able to tap. First of all, they have a shorter nose. If you're with a cat or a pug or a couple other like kind of smush-faced dogs, you know, you would probably, if the cat's going to let you, and I've come over to one of my cats and she's letting me, but you would be, you might not be able to tap on the face like that, so you might only be tapping kind of along the spine. So, again, the top of the head has so much connection to the nervous system that I like to end there as sort of a relief point and almost as if I'm imprinting the positive information ultimately into that area. And there's another kind of energetic component to that, and I think of, you know, their crown chakra as a place where, you know, if you think of that, the connection to the divine with the crown chakra, an animal's connection to the divine often includes us as almost the agent to the divine, because they count on us for their safety and their well-being. And by tapping on the top of the head, I feel like I'm participating in those calming signals for me being that person in their world, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. It does.
That's a great question. Any other questions, comments, observations?
Joan, this is Carolyn in Santa Barbara.
Yes.
Hi. I just wanted to add to that. I thought it was kind of interesting. I was doing some research, and I found out that the monks in Tibet will oftentimes tap repeatedly on the top of the temple dogs, on the top of their heads, on the top of the crown chakra.
Wow.
And I asked one of my girlfriends who had just recently gone there a few years back, and she said that she observed that too, and she said it was almost like, she was like, why are they doing that? So I just thought that was kind of interesting that you just mentioned that. It's as if they're pushing the energy.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I really think of, you know, if you look at how many animals have head injuries, and that's another important thing I'll bring up here in a second, but how many animals have had head injuries, and, you know, a lot of times then we can't touch the top of their head because, it, you know, they're very protective of it. And so, you know, it's a real, I never come up and touch somebody's dog on the top of their head. I'm, you know, please smell my hand, and if anything, I come up under their chin. But to tap on the top of their head is a real honor, right? It's a real privilege. You know, I really honor it that somebody's letting me do that. So that's interesting that you say that about the monks.
Yeah, that is. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, that does bring up that other little thing of when you have a really super head-shy animal. I recently, and I've got a video of it, and I'm not sure if Karen and I have released some of the videos yet, but there's a horse in the I just did this class for 6 weeks in kind of the winter quarter, and it was pretty amazing. A gal lives locally here, so I went ahead and went over to her house to do some tapping because I knew that it would make a good little video. Well, sure enough, the horse was completely head shy and terrified, and that's why, not terrified of people, but just very protective, self-protective, you know, self-preservation, just constantly in that mode of kind of watching. Didn't let people come approach her from one side. You really had to approach her from the other side. And, you know, from communicating with her, I knew there was definitely an old head injury that was probably affecting her sight on the left side. And so this is a really important thing. I'm not going to add to the damage of somebody in a situation like that, right? I don't want to be like, oh, I can break through this. So the first time I went, and then she brought the horse over here the second time we tapped, but the first time I tapped, I wanted to tap with her on the horse. I tapped on the horse about how she was very, you know, tentative, and I didn't dare touch her head. Oh, in fact, here's what I did. I didn't tap on her physically because I wasn't going to be just another person that's kind of pushing my energy in. So the first round of tapping I did with the horse, I tapped on me in front of her as the surrogate. And she was like, say, 2 feet from me. I was on her right side because I knew that she's very protective of her left side and let her person be on her left side. So then I tapped with her person about how frustrating it was that she wouldn't, you know, that she was so head shy and she wouldn't let anybody into her circle. And we tapped that, you know, it's frustrating because I've had this horse for 10 years and blah, blah, blah. You know, really went into a big dramatic script. Well, partway through that, she stepped in between us. So now I'm standing like, you know, we were making a perfect triangle before. Now she's standing between us. Like, we'd really tapped through something. And the next time, like a week later, she came over and let me, the woman Cindy brought her horse over, and that horse let me tap on her on both sides. Both sides, like, was so head shy before. It was, you know, she would get terrified and then could become terrifying. So that was a really big deal. And I, you know, I was able to really focus on that left side. And, I mean, it was really powerful. And then Caroline from Denver would be able to, was here when Cindy said, she came to a weekend workshop then here a couple weeks ago, and she said she'd had the horse for 10 years and the relationship shifted within a week. And, you know, that's a long time. So, you know, when you have head shy animals, and I just wanted to give that whole story because it's such a perfect example, you can either surrogate tap on yourself, or you can tap all the other points and then don't push it with the head. You know, because when you think about, when you're doing energy work and body work on animals, you and I can go to therapy. You and I can call up our friends and rant about an old boyfriend. You and I can, you know, do a lot of things. We can do a lot of things. We can exercise at will. We can do a lot of things to express and process our emotions. But for a lot of animals, their emotions are not stuck in their body, but they're very much in their body. And so when we start to release these things, animals that already have a proclivity toward a shyness or a fear, you know, that it's really going to come out. So we want to be mindful of, you know, everybody's safety and being really good about what they need. So there you go. Any other questions, comments, observations before we... Oh, I have a question, but does anyone else have one? Okay, I have a question for Wendy. How has the guilt-free been going with you?
Much better.
Oh, good.
Much better.
That's so great.
Much better. You know, of course there are times like last night, because I worked on Mondays, I leave at 7 in the morning and I return. Well, yesterday wasn't Monday, yesterday was Wednesday, but I have very long days. And, of course, that's when I get home, she tries to, you know, do her little routine of the growling. But as soon as I realized it was just play behavior and I didn't feel guilty anymore, she, and I start laughing, she would bring her toy over to me and start wiggling really fast.
Oh, that's
mm-hmm.
awesome.
So I knew that she was just playing and just, you know, it was like, I love you, I love you. Play with me. So.
That is really great.
So thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. That's one of those things, too, that when you get to, you know, the emotional freedom of it, the, you know, things can really shift.
Mm-hmm. And they have.
Yeah, that's really great. I love that. And, you know, sometimes when we're doing this work, we might tap on one thing and discover, like this, we tapped on stuff with you, Wendy, but then it turns out, you know, some of it is just freeing up that one emotion that we don't even have to tap on your guilt. We just have to kind of go, oh, I could move this out of the way. So I think some of the emotional freedom technique is also just looking at some of the emotions that are involved in the whole situation and then, you know, finding an appropriate place for them. Like, for me, there's no place for guilt. But I was raised Catholic, so I've got a great dose of it, you know. I'm sure a few others.
Me too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, there's, it's so, there's so much that we do that's been informed by our childhood and shaped and is habit. And when, you know, sometimes the emotional freedom technique is simply a way of going, whew, God, I don't need that. So
it definitely.
Yeah, might not even be something we tap on, but it gets freed up. It'll be fun to see then if what happens with your, you know, more and more with people at the dog park or other groups you're in.
Oh, I agree. It will be. We haven't been able to go lately because she stepped on a bee.
Oh.
And got stung. So we've been, you know, staying away from there, but we've been playing other places.
Very cool. Yeah, well, that'll be really fun to put that to work in a bigger arena, so to speak.
I agree. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, Karen with a poodle.
Yes.
Are you ready?
I am. Do you want me with her, or does it not matter, or alone?
Yeah, if
or
you could be with her, that would be great.
Okay, I just need to walk about 12 steps down the stairs, but I will be there.
And what's her name?
Her name is Katie.
And how old is she?
She is 10.
How long have you had her?
I have had her for a year and a half.
And where did she come from?
She was owned by a woman who was a recovering drug addict who then relapsed, so went through a temporary house, came to me sort of as an unofficial rescue.
Okay, and do you have other animals in your household?
Do. I have a Pyrenees named Pillow, and we have a pretty continuous stream of foster dogs.
Okay, so what is Pillow? A dog?
She's a dog.
Okay, and do you have any other dogs? Other
no.
Foster dogs? Okay. And any people?
Yes, currently it's just my husband that lives here.
And so when you say that she's afraid of stuff, how does it show up?
She will not walk on hard surface floors to move freely through our house. In fact, her world has downsized so much that she walks between my couch, which she probably spends 98% of our time on, or her time on, the 10 steps to get out the back door. And then she'll go back to the couch. And she really does not move freely around any other parts of the house.
Is there, how is her sight?
As far as my vet can tell, it's fine. We don't notice any problems when we're at the dog park or outside. She seems normal.
Okay. So she acts normal then outside of the house?
Yes.
No other fears?
I guess I can't really think of anything she's really afraid of outside of the house. She's kind of, she's kind of an anxious dog when she's greeting people. You know, she knows she's not supposed to jump on them, so she jumps around them. And, you know, the first 5 minutes is kind of a behavioral embarrassment, but then after that she's really calm as can be.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure she's not embarrassed.
No, I think it's just me that's embarrassed.
Just checking. Okay, and why is it embarrassing?
Because I think I have a responsibility as a pet owner to have a well-behaved dog, and she's, in that first 5 minutes, she's really not. And
I try things, and then it's ineffective. So, you know, I'm trying to do things to modify her behavior, and it's clearly not working in front of all kinds of other people. And
okay. Do you think... So I just want people to realize, like, when you're about to set up your script, I'm just kind of investigating. So we started with she's not walking anywhere, you know, she's not walking freely around the house. And so I'm trying to find out other places that she might be afraid or any other emotions that are come up around this. And so far we've gotten the embarrassing from Karen. Now, as far as Katie and the fear or anxiousness, what are there any other places she exhibits the anxiousness?
No. Well, I've done agility training with her, and she can do all the different obstacles, but she doesn't like the teeter totter. She doesn't like walking across the plank up in the air. But she pretty quickly learned how to do everything else. She doesn't like stepping on moving surfaces, so there's that one little tilt board thing they use for training in agility. She wasn't real wild about that. We haven't really done agility for a few years, but...
Okay. When she's walking around in your house and she walks behind the couch like that, what does she look like she's feeling?
Afraid.
Okay. And how do you feel when you see that?
You know, it depends what else is going on. I feel sad for her because her world has downsized so much. You know, I feel sad for myself because she used to be the kind of dog that would follow me around the house and lay at my feet and, you know, follow me upstairs and downstairs or into the office, and she doesn't do any of that anymore. I feel guilty because, and I know you just said there's no place for guilt, but...
I know, believe me,
I feel guilty because I haven't found a solution. I mean, you know, I've done, I think, a reasonable amount of investigation and talking to people trying to find a solution, but, you know, I haven't found one. I feel... the week just came up, in that first class, I'd been feeling really frustrated with her behavior because she has certain squares of our floor that she will step on between the outside exit and the couch, and they change. It isn't always the same squares, although it's sort of the same most of the time. And when we get new foster dogs in, she doesn't like to be bothered by other dogs, and... She wants to be up on her couch, but she won't go up on her couch if there is another dog that's standing on one of the squares that she needs to step on to get to the couch. So it becomes this odd game in the middle of my family room with, you know, I'm watching her and I can see she's very unhappy where she is, and it's escalating between the foster dog who doesn't understand why she's not playing or moving, and I can't fix it from where I am because the only solution I have found is to go over to her and pretty much drag her over to the couch or remove the barrier that seems to be there. So in those moments, I feel frustrated and annoyed. Sometimes scared, although I don't tend to get really scary foster dogs in, so I don't have a lot of fear.
This is for the rest of the class and for you also. At this point, I'm looking at a situation where, you know, there isn't a lot of rhyme or reason for why the dog is doing this behavior. So now my next question would be, my next statement and question would be, okay, Karen, it sounds a little OCD in some ways. Is there some way in your life that you've limited your behavior? Is this mirroring anything for you? Have you ever limited your behavior because you just didn't feel like dealing with something, or you were afraid? Have you made your life really small?
No, that doesn't ring true at all.
Okay. Have you ever been OCD?
No.
Okay. And these are always just, you know, the person can say no, so it's worth asking, because
mm-hmm.
we want
no,
to get to the bottom of it.
I understand. When this behavior first started, it initially wasn't the kitchen floor where most of the problem is right now. It was walking out of the kitchen through a hallway into our front entryway. And for a long time, that behavior would be there sometimes or not. She essentially became a kitchen dog because she would no longer exit the kitchen. And that is still a problem, but it's just exacerbated to the point where now the biggest problem is where she won't move in the kitchen. I mean, it literally is like her world has just kept shrinking and shrinking. And I'm always relieved that she will walk from the couch to the outside door, because if she ever stopped finding a way to the outside door, I don't actually know what I would do.
So did she came with this behavior?
No, I think she was fine probably until she was five. She was at a boarding kennel with my other dog for a few days, and when she came back, she had about a day and a half where she wouldn't walk out of the kitchen I couldn't figure out any reason, and I was just about ready to call my animal communicator friend to talk to her about it when the behavior went away, and then it came back, you know, at random intervals for the next few years. Never any particular trigger that I could figure out, and then it just sort of got progressively worse and worse.
Do you think that there is that hallway from the kitchen dark?
It is darker, and she had told my animal communicator friends, where she told them initially that it was a dark, scary tunnel, and she didn't want to walk in there.
I mean, that's the first thing I got, but yeah.
There's one thing:
are some of these squares on the floor darker or lighter?
It's all kind of the same pattern.
Okay.
But there's a whole section of them that where there normally isn't a light, and there's no outside like window light that shines on the rest of it. So there is a darker section. But none of the kitchen stuff is like that.
She seems anxious when she's doing this. Or fearful?
Well, fearful.
Okay.
You know how dogs, when they run on something that they, or step on something they don't want to, they pull up their toe pad muscles?
Yeah.
So they're on their toenails. I mean, she does that whenever she walks over any of these surfaces, whether she does it on her own or whether I, you know, coax her through or drag her through, or whether her favorite person in the world is standing on the other side of the room and she wants to get over there and she musters up enough courage to do it herself. She always does it with those skittering toenails.
And again, I mean, I know your vets are not saying anything about this, but a lot of times dogs have, just think of how many people have sight issues, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if a dog is seeing like that scary hallway and there's different light on the pattern on the floor, I would keep an eye on that sight, because it sounds to me very, very much like the sight is somewhat dimming in certain circumstances. Like outside with her friends, it might be bright enough. It's just
mm-hmm.
like you know, if I sit in front of the computer too long after working on a book, if a restaurant isn't well lit, I'm like, I certainly can't read a menu,
mm-hmm.
and I'm even like
yeah.
going, God, this person across from me is a little, you know, I've spent too much time on the computer. Whereas if I go outside, I can see him perfectly. So
yeah.
this is, you know, I just think that there's some dimming going on, so to speak, with that site. And whenever there's that, there's a little bit of protection and fear and what have you. Okay. I'm setting up my script. So in a perfect world, what would happen?
Perfect, like
perfect.
Best case scenario.
Yeah.
She would be able to walk freely around the house as she wanted to or I wanted her to, so that she could have a full life again.
Okay. So in animal communication, you know, I would be checking in more with Katie herself, the poodle. But since this is a class, some of you have an animal communication background and some of you haven't, I just went ahead and asked Karen information on Katie. So, you know, I wanted to make all the notes. So what I'm going to have you do is, do you know the points to do on her? Should I sit and walk them through with you before we... I mean,
yeah,
I'll say them out loud. Anyway, I'll say...
Yeah, if you say them out loud, I'll know where to find them.
Okay.
I've done my homework, yeah.
Okay. All right. So we'll start with the karate chop, you and I, and I'm going to speak as if I'm Katie.
Okay.
Even though I can't stand walking on hard surfaces.
Even though I can't stand walking on hard surfaces.
I can't stand it.
I can't stand it.
I'm not going to do it.
I'm not going to do it.
If I do it, I'm going to do it really fast.
If I do it, I'm going to do it really fast.
And I love and accept myself.
And I love and accept myself.
Even though I have made my life really small.
Even though I have made my life really small.
And I know I have frustrated my people.
And I know I have frustrated my people.
I love and accept myself.
I love and accept myself.
Even though it's really hard for me to act normal sometimes.
Even though it's really hard for me to act normal sometimes.
Because my life is really small.
Because my life is really small.
I honor the choices I'm making.
I honor the choices I'm making.
Okay, so tapping on the inside of the eye. I can't do it.
I can't do it.
Outside of the eye. I get anxious.
I get anxious.
Under the eye, I'm not going to act normal.
I'm not going to act normal.
Top of the nose, I know it's upsetting for her.
I know it's upsetting for her.
Under the chin, but she doesn't seem to understand.
But she doesn't seem to understand.
Inside of the chest, I can't do it.
I can't do it.
Top of the head, there's no reason for it.
There's no reason for it.
Inside the eye, there's really no reason.
There's really no reason.
Outside of the eye, except that it's dim.
Except that it's dim.
Under the eyes, and I just can't do it.
And I just can't do it.
Top of the nose, can't do it.
Can't do it.
Under the chin, can't walk around.
Can't walk around.
Chest. I can't be free in the house anymore.
I can't be free in the house anymore.
Top of the head. I just feel like my world is really small.
I just feel like my world is really small.
Inside of the eye. And I don't want to be asked for it to be different.
And I don't want to be asked for it to be different.
Outside of the eye. Because I am perfectly fine on my couch.
Because I am perfectly fine on my couch.
Under the eye and in the kitchen.
And in the kitchen.
Top of the nose. Is there really anything else anyway?
Is there really anything else anyways?
Under the chin. I know she wants me to still follow her.
I know she wants me to still follow her.
Inside of the chest. I just can't.
I just can't.
Top of the head. And there's no explaining it.
And there's no explaining it.
Inside of the eye. There's no words for it, really.
There's no words for it, really.
Outside of the eye, except that my life is small.
Except that my life is small.
Under the eye. I don't mind that my life is really small.
I don't mind that my life is really small.
Top of the nose. I'm okay once I'm outside.
I'm okay once I'm outside.
Under the chin. But I really like to cocoon in the house.
But I really like to cocoon in the house.
In the chest. I really just want to have my little routines.
I really just want to have my little routine.
Top of the head. And I want everyone to leave me alone about it.
And I want everyone to leave me alone about it.
Inside of the eye, because I'm fine.
Because I'm fine.
Inside, outside of the eye, I'm totally fine.
I'm totally fine.
Under the eye, I know what I'm doing.
I know what I'm doing.
Top of the nose, I am totally fine with my weird routines. Leave me alone.
I am totally fine with my weird routine. Just leave me alone.
Under the chin. Except I know that I'm bothering my people.
Except I know that I'm bothering my people.
Inside of the chest. I guess I could just try a little more.
I guess I could just try a little more.
Top of the head. I know it would make her happy if I followed her through the house.
I know it would make her happy if I followed her through the house.
I do miss her office.
I do miss her office.
I miss the light that shines in there.
I miss the light that shines in there.
That's actually her light.
Oh, I missed her light that shines in there.
Top of the nose. I could follow her other places.
I could follow her other places.
Under the chin. I guess I could really open up to the possibilities here.
I guess I could really open up to the possibilities here.
Inside of the chest. I could release this behavior.
I could release this behavior.
Top of the head. I could let this go.
I could let this go.
Inside of the eye. I have gotten a lot of attention for it.
I have gotten a lot of attention for it.
Outside of the eye, but maybe I'll get more attention for doing something better.
But maybe I'll get more attention for doing something better.
Under the eye. I am open to the possibility of following her around again.
I am open to the possibility of following her around again.
Top of the nose. I am open to seeing what else is in the house.
I am open to seeing what else is in the house.
Under the chin. I am open to stepping on the floor.
I am open to stepping on the floor.
Collarbone. I am, or inside the chest. I am really open to this.
I am really open to this.
Top of the head. I want to walk freely through the house.
I want to walk freely through the house.
Okay, now take a deep breath. And how has she seemed through this?
Oh, it's so interesting. I wish we could have videotaped her.
Mm-hmm.
So I could even go back and look at it, because I was trying to process that angle of it at the same time I was listening to you and then feeling my own stuff.
Mm-hmm.
She was a little uncertain when I did the karate chop, because it ended up being right in front of her face because of where I have the phone positioned and I'm kneeling in front of her.
Mm-hmm.
But by the time we got through the first couple points, she just kept leaning her head into me harder and harder.
Wow.
I've never tapped on her before. So this is the first experience she's had with tapping. Except for down her spine. I've been doing down her spine some since the class started. But I really haven't gotten around her face. So for most of it, she looked like she was just soaking it up and very content to be feeling what she was feeling. There was one point, and I wish I could remember right where it was, that she just sort of backed up her head 2 inches and pulled her ears back a little bit and looked at me like, I'm not so sure about that one. and that's where I was like, oh, I wish I had this on video so I could correspond the tape to the video and see what that was again. But that was very interesting watching her.
Yeah, you know, this will be good to go back and listen to, you know.
Yeah.
And tap again on her. What will be interesting is if you tapped on just one side of her face, is maybe tapping on the other side, because I have a feeling, even if it's, you know, even if it's just a bone thing, like sometimes horses and dogs and cats, their sight can change even just when the cranial bones are out.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it some of the dimness may literally be a physical thing. So tapping around the eyes may open up, you know, really. I would actually try to, you know, do a round of tapping now on the other side of the face and see if you don't actually have some sort of a shift. I remember one of the gals, I taught a class a couple of years ago on the phone, the first time I taught a class on this, and I'd been tapping on animals for about 10 years at that point, but I hadn't, you know, come out and started teaching it. And this gal had a dog with a tumor, a significant enough tumor that they had stopped doing agility and it had really broken her heart that, you know, her dog was not living the full life that she had been living at one point. And she and her partner tapped on the dog. We tapped on the dog in the class, and then she and her partner continued the tapping for a little while. And the next thing you know, her head is still tilted, but literally to this day, the tapping physically changed the position of her head.
Hmm.
So I have a feeling that there's something in there that, you know, it's like that dark hallway that your animal communicators and I see, friends and I see. It's almost like, oh, you know, pushing the top of the head, getting it back so that she sees a little more brightly in the house.
Okay.
Is your office lighter?
It really depends what time of the day it is, because the window picks up the morning light, and then in the afternoon it really wouldn't
mm-hmm.
be any lighter. And, you know, to some extent, the kitchen runs the same way because it doesn't get any morning light, and then in the afternoon it gets some.
Yeah, but
so
a kitchen is a kitchen for a dog.
Yeah. What was interesting for me, just listening to the things that you said, or where you went with your script in terms of Katie being just fine, like she really didn't think it was, she just wanted to be that way, it was fine, is I've done enough animal communication work, and people come to my house and they watch her behaving so strangely, and, you know, my adult children come and periodically and they've seen it get worse over the last number of years, and they'll sometimes ask me flat out, can't you get her some help or something? Doesn't she need drugs or something? And I've always felt like, you know, she's actually okay living on the couch. Like, if
yeah.
I felt she wasn't okay living on the couch, I would have taken my vet's suggestion that I could try doggy Prozac or whatever they try. But it was like, no, you know, it's frustrating, annoying, and sad for me, and it's sometimes problematic working around her. But she's actually, I think, okay with this, and it didn't seem to make much sense to medicate her if she was actually okay. So that was interesting that's where you went with your script, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think it's, you know, it's not a problem for her.
Yeah.
And, you know, especially if you've been, you know, with a drug addict and you've had kind of like a high drama life, there's nothing like a good couch.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it'll be interesting to hear where it goes.
Yeah, I will be interested to watch what she does this week, and I will listen to the tape for sure and run her through the other side.
In the meantime, do you want to do a little round of tapping on this with you?
Oh, sure.
Okay. So let's start with the karate chop point. Even though I have a dog that does weird things.
Even though I have a dog that does weird things.
I love and accept myself.
I love and accept myself.
Even though I should know how to handle this.
Even though I should know how to handle this.
And people always say, can't you get that dog some help?
And people always say, can't you get that dog some help?
I love and accept myself.
I love and accept myself.
Even though I get taken in by frustration.
Even though I get taken in by frustration.
I get taken in by guilt.
I get taken in by guilt.
I get some overwhelming feelings sometimes.
I get some overwhelming feelings sometimes.
And I honor the choices I'm making.
I honor the choices I'm making.
Inside of the eye, tapping for you, inside of your eye. I feel guilty.
I feel guilty.
Outside of the eye. Isn't there something I could do?
Isn't there something I could do?
Under the eye. Isn't there some way I could change this?
Isn't there some way I could change this?
Under the nose. I mean, I have so many resources.
I mean, I have so many resources.
Under the lips. But yet, here I am.
But yet, here I am.
Collarbone with this stupid problem.
With this stupid problem.
Top of the head that seems so ridiculous.
It seems so ridiculous.
Inside of the eye. And yet, I can't fix it.
And yet, I can't fix it.
Outside of the eye. I am able to help so many people and animals.
I'm able to help so many people and animals.
Under the eye. And here I am with this stupid problem.
And here I am with this stupid problem.
Under the nose. And yet she seems fine.
Yet she seems fine.
Under the lips. I think it might just be my problem.
I think it might just be my problem.
Collarbone, and I'm so sensitive about it, I end up being embarrassed.
And I'm so sensitive about it, I end up being embarrassed.
Top of the head, and I end up feeling guilty.
And I end up feeling guilty.
Inside of the eye. And I get really frustrated.
And I get really frustrated.
Outside of the eye. I mean really frustrated.
I mean really frustrated.
Under the eye. It's so ridiculous.
It's so ridiculous.
Under the nose. I shouldn't be that frustrated.
I shouldn't be that frustrated.
Under the lips. I mean, she's got a great life.
I mean, she's got a great life.
Collarbone, I've done the best I can.
I've done the best I can.
Top of the head, what we provide for her is way more than she had before.
What we provide for her is way more than she had before.
Inside of the eye, I mean, we do agility.
We do agility.
Outside of the eye, we do all kinds of stuff.
We do all kinds of stuff.
Under the eye, we have a very full life.
We have a very full life.
Under the nose, so I'm going to stop feeling guilty.
So I'm going to stop feeling guilty.
Under the lips, I'm just going to see what it's like to accept her as she is.
I'm just going to see what it's like to accept her as she is.
Collarbone, and not get twinged when people say something about her.
And not get twinged when people say something about her.
Top of the head, I don't have to worry about that.
I don't have to worry about that.
Inside of the eye, their judgment is their judgment.
Their judgment is their judgment.
Outside of the eye, and I am me.
And I am me.
Under the eye, and Katie's just being Katie.
And Katie's just being Katie.
Under the nose, I accept this quirky Katie.
I accept this quirky Katie.
Under the lips. She's so dang lovable anyway.
she's so dang lovable anyways.
Collarbone, that it's fine if she needs to be quirky.
It's fine if she needs to be quirky.
Top of the head, because I'm quirky too.
Because I'm quirky too.
Okay, and take a deep breath. So we'll see where this goes.
Yes. I will be very interested. Thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah. Does anyone have any questions, comments, observations on working with the dog and or the person and or the script? Anyone?
I have a question that isn't related to this particular problem. This is Paula. That, but for example, with Maggie, who's getting weak and having trouble moving around, how do you approach tapping for that type of problem, for a physical problem?
I think the same way, the way that I would be probably tapping on her physically, and I also would be tapping on your feelings about it.
Okay.
You know, seeing, I mean, if she's like, if you think she's feeling badly, then you know that she can't do it, then I would, you know, again, you go to that top emotion. That if it's emotional freedom technique, you want to free her from that top emotion. So if she's feeling frustrated that she's not moving around the way that she once did, then you use frustration. If she's feeling sad that her life has gotten limited, then you use sad. You know, but you start with just the top emotion and try tapping that down and then go
okay.
from there.
Okay. So it's all hidden emotion behind whatever.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. Thank you.
And yeah, and then you have feelings about it too, right? Like it might make
I
you
do.
Sad. Yeah.
Horrible.
So then,
yeah.
Yeah. So you want it, so you'd if you were just going to tap on yourself, you would feel, you know, go through the what you feel about that. I have a dog that is, I'm looking at her right now. We went on a big walk this morning, and she's half border collie, quarter German Shepherd, a quarter Rottweiler, and she's got the German Shepherd hips, you know, and it's like it looks horrible to everybody else, but I see her as a rock star, so I don't feel badly about the limited movement she has because I'm so grateful we still have it, but so I don't, that's not where I go when I tap with her. And as a result, she's not frustrated, right? Like if she falls down, she just sits there for a minute, gets her strength, and gets up. Whereas,
right.
you know, whereas someone else, that might be like terribly sad. And so I try not to go there too much with her because it just is what it is. At some point, I'm going to have a weak hind end.
Yes. All righty.
Yeah, and I mean, it's amazing when we think about, like, look at Wendy's situation where, you know, she was feeling so guilty that she wasn't, that there was a whole behavior that was there that she thought was something else that has really opened up into a whole other thing. That growling isn't like, get away, it's like, oh, I'm going to play, and you're just not getting it,
mm-hmm.
you know? So that when we can move our emotion out of the way, we're freeing up a lot, possibly a whole new behavior for the animal. But as long as we stay in that emotion, we can't be anything but what we're all being at this point.
Wonderful. Okay. That makes sense. Thank you.
Yeah.
I have to remember that it's all emotional, whether it's physical or whatever. Emotional
yeah.
is the key to
yeah.
it.
It is, because it's you know, it's when you have a dog that's not going to step on the tiles and it seems like she's scared of it, you know, then we can only tap on so much fear, and there's a certain point, like I just did with Karen, then you tap on how Karen's feeling about it. Karen, how do you feel now, by the way?
I feel less sad about the whole situation, less concerned that I'm being a bad dog parent because I haven't worked harder to try to fix it or haven't yet found a solution. I think I'll have more patience with her. And just as you were saying that, when you shift the emotion, you free up space for other things to happen.
Yeah.
I realize I'm starting to think, like the reason, one of the reasons this was so problematic for me was just the dynamics of how our household runs around this dog that has these quirky behaviors. And I realized I had started focusing on, okay, there's this quirky behavior and it's driving me nuts, and what do I do about the behavior, when actually I'm feeling more accepting about the behavior, and okay, I have a dog who's just going to follow the same track in the kitchen. I guess that means I really don't shuffle my furniture around, or maybe we need to get rid of furniture so there's more space for my foster dogs so that they're all not trying to stand on the same five squares, because that's problematic. And I wasn't really thinking very flexibly about how to reduce the sort of ripple effects of her behavior. I was really honing in on the behavior. So it
you
does
know,
feel like a lot's changing in my brain.
That's awesome. One of the things that I think that we as a society were so geared toward fixing things and figuring it out. I always tell people that, you know, when I hear the words, I have to figure it out, even when I feel that feeling of like, oh, I have to figure that out, it's like, oh boy, now I'm going down the wrong road, because there's no such thing. It's either going to appear or it's not. You know what I mean? Like me trying to fix something. I mean, it's one thing for me to step in. You all have asked to learn this technique, so I'm stepping in as facilitating this technique for you, but I'm not fixing it. And there's a big difference when we have what we think we have as a problem, we tend to want to fix it. And that takes up so much brain space and so much work goes into figuring it out or fixing it, when the truth is I might just have a really quirky dog.
Right, and rather than the quirky dog being the problem, I'm actually seeing it right now as, okay, I have a space problem, because there isn't enough room for my quirky dog on her squares when she won't move to other ones, when I've got three other dog crates and that extra table in the room, because we were just piled up with fosters the last few weeks that I don't normally have quite so many. And it does feel much easier to have a space problem than a dog problem.
Exactly.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, this has been really fun. Any other last questions, comments, observations? I think Carolyn in Santa Barbara, did you, is there still, how's that shelter dog?
Thanks for asking, Wolverine.
Yeah.
As soon as we hung up from the first class, thank you so much for giving that information. I emailed the shelter director right away, and we have a really great relationship, and the team has been going for over a year now, so there's a lot of trust there. We experiment with all different kinds of things, crystal healing, tree magic, fairies, angels. So she's really open to everything. And I have told her about you before, and I even forwarded your website to her. So she had that knowledge base, and I said, hey, Morgan, I just wanted to let you know I had a really great opportunity to ask Joan Ranquette, the animal communicator, about possibly what might be going on with Wolverine. It came up in one of the classes I'm taking with her. And she gave me some great information. I wanted to pass that along. And then if you could just sort of let me know what comes of that, because we're in so many shelters right now, we only go around to that dog shelter every other Saturday. So she emailed me back, and she was super excited, and she said, thank you so much. Oh, my gosh. I'm going to definitely pass this on to the vet, and I will keep you posted. And then she said, we don't have anybody, or we can't afford to bring anyone in for any type of cranial manipulation. Mm-hmm. And so I told her that I would try to see through my networking if I could find a chiropractor that works on animals that might volunteer to come in and do some work. They're already trying to raise, I think it's $2,500 for a special test for Wolverine. And so the focus is there right now. And then a couple of days later, she emailed me and she said, just to update you, Wolverine is in the animal hospital indefinitely right now. He's had three seizures in 1 hour.
Mm.
And so the vet just made the determination to take him down to this particular, it's a pretty state-of-the-art animal hospital. So I didn't want to ask her if she happened to say anything to the vet about, I said, okay, well, if you could please keep me posted,
yeah,
that would be very helpful. And then I tapped on myself.
Yeah. Because it's so hard.
Yeah, because you feel helpless.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know you run across this. You can only take people so far, and the vet may just think I'm crazy or, you know. I mean, there's only so much you can do, right?
Yeah, and then we have to remember that it's also their path.
Yeah.
And, you know, all of that.
Can I ask you a question? What do you think about, because I've just been having the team go ahead and continue to send distant healing to the hospital where he is, and I also work with a technique known as transcalar energy healing that I learned from another teacher of mine, and so we've been kind of working with some scalar waves there. And what about if I go into a meditative state? I'm also a hypnotherapist, so if I take myself down into a deeper state and connected with Wolverine and just went ahead and started tapping on myself as if I was the surrogate for Wolverine.
Yeah.
Might as well try, right?
Yeah.
Any suggestions on...
One of the things I would actually try is, to be quite honest, I would, if you're working with scalar energy, it's one of my favorite things to be working with. I would,
okay,
would use the scalar wave into the brain and into the back of the head.
Okay.
I would be almost doing that sort of thing. But then I would tap for... even though I feel this pressure, I love and accept my, like, really be tapping on the pressure.
The pressure. Okay. I'm just making notes. Okay. I feel the pressure. Okay. I feel so sorry. He's only a year old.
Yeah. It's so hard.
Okay, so focusing that scalar waves then into the brain and the back of the
head. Into the brain and the brain stem. That's where I'd be working.
Okay, and brain stem. Okay, thank you. I really appreciate that.
Yeah. All right, well, we have, I'll be gone for a little while, but you guys are going to have lots of homework. On, not lots, but some good homework. But I really, thought today was great. I think, Wendy, it's really good to hear what's going on with you guys. I love that. I love all the transformational work, so good job, you guys.
Thank you, Joan.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. That was great.
Thanks. Yeah. Okay, have fun. Bye.
Have fun at the zoo.
Thanks.
Bye, Joan.
Bye.
Bye, Joan. Thanks.
Bye. Thank you. Hopefully talk to you later.
Bye, Joan. Thank you.